Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Now, in your paper published in an article called Nature Astronomy, you mentioned an initiative called the Pleiades Awards. Could you tell us a little bit about these awards and how it's contributing to greater diversity in the astronomy field?
Yeah, sure. So the Pleiades Awards were a system that was introduced by the Astronomical Society of Australia. And these awards provide a bronze or a silver or a gold medal and a certificate to institutions which have introduced a wide range of diversity initiatives. They actually have a large range of initiatives required even just to reach bronze certification. And what this means is that institutions across Australia, they really got on board with this. The Astronomical Society did do some mentoring and strong encouragement of the institutions to obtain the awards. And it's been dramatic. So almost all of astronomy institutions in Australia, more than 90%, have now introduced a large range of initiatives and are involved in the certification program, many having achieved bronze or silver awards, and a couple have even achieved gold awards. And so I did a survey of all the astronomy institutes to look at the effect of this awards program and found that as a result of the awards, there's been a really large range of initiatives introduced, and that includes things like active diversity and inclusion committees, family-friendly meeting hours, so that allows males and females in the departments to drop their children off at school and go and pick their children up, and so that the meeting hours that they must be at, or seminars and really important department events, need to be between 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. And there are other initiatives such as carer funding, which allows junior faculty members who've had children to bring those young children with them to conferences or to hire a babysitter or additional care as needed so that they can attend conferences. And this might be across Australia or overseas. And there's been, just a really wide range of initiatives. Those are just a couple. And so it's been fantastic to see such improvement.
I'm curious to ask how these awards sort of came about. Was this in response to a direct moment, or was it sort of over a more generalised sort of recognition of a lack of gender equity in the workplace?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that came out was because the Australian astronomy community have been writing decadal plans. And so the previous decadal plan, which basically sets the path for astronomy over the next decade, and it usually sets a path in science, but in the previous decadal plan, they did a survey of the astronomy departments and of the gender balance within the departments. And basically what we were seeing is that the astronomy departments at the higher levels had very few women, but there are actually really a lot of women at the lower levels. So at the PhD level, for example, it was about 40%, and we weren't seeing that trickling up over the years into the departments. And so the decadal plan set a goal in Australian astronomy that all departments should target 30% at the higher levels and over the next decade. And it basically brought the gender equity and the ideas into the main workplace. And so department directors and heads of departments were paying attention to this issue. And then the Astronomical Society of Australia got on board, and they had been watching the UK Athena Swan program and basically developed a program that's very similar to the Athena Swan program that was developed in the UK to improve gender equity in universities there.
It definitely seems to be a problem in the higher levels of like the astronomy community, as you were saying, which is not unlike a lot of other corporate industries and the like, where you've got like this massive sort of bottleneck of people at entry level positions where women are seen in huge amounts, but then as you get to the top, that's where like the problems do come about. So it seems like it's doing a lot of really great things.
Yes, so what we're seeing in the departments now is some dedicated prestigious senior hires of women. So some of them are being made prestigious to attract more women to apply for the positions, because in the past we've had less women applying for positions at the senior levels as well. And we're also seeing some female-only positions being advertised. There's several across Australia, actually, just even in this last year. And the female-only positions what that avoids is implicit bias. So there is an implicit bias where if you give if you give males and females the same application and you take the name off the top and you just replace the name with a female name, then both males and females will judge that application as less worthy of receiving the job in various categories. And so that means that there's this sort of implicit bias that we all have. It's cultural. And the one of the ways that we've found that gets over this very well is by offering female-only positions. And we might have some positions where we're going to hire a male and a female. And so we'll just make two shortlists, a male shortlist and a female shortlist. And this means that we're able to control, you know, what the gender balance in the departments is in the future and also overcome this implicit bias, which we really don't know how to get over at the moment.
Yeah, and this implicit bias that you're talking about does mirror, I think, a lot of other industries too, but it's also in the case of racial equity too, because I've read so many articles about saying how if you've got a more ethnic last name that it can be seen to have its own implicit bias in that. So are there any cases to sort of move towards more cultural equity in these fields as well?
Absolutely. So that's what we need to do next. There have been, in some of the departments, have already started introducing cultural awareness training, and also there is a strong push now for a broader forms of diversity to be recognised and also then encouraged and included in departments, and that includes members of different, racial minorities, but also sexual minorities, members of the community who might have disabilities or illnesses, and also neurodiversity as well. So that may be people with autism spectrum disorder, for example. We have members of all these communities in astronomy. It's just that they are in a minority. And it's been shown in research that these members still suffer from discrimination as well as implicit bias. And so, yes, absolutely, there's a lot of awareness coming through now into the broader forms of diversity. And in my article, I made recommendations of, concrete ways that departments could improve in these areas.
And for those recommendations that you do outline, are those for other sort of science-based communities, would you say, like in, say, biology or any other sort of spaces? Or how have they translated?
Yeah, so I think anything that we have introduced in astronomy can be translated to other areas. And so one of the recommendations is that other societies, whether it might be physics societies, chemistry societies, medical societies, and also the learned academies, they could be introducing awards programs that are similar to this program and coming up with recommendations for the departments and really helping lead the way in the other areas. I think the success of this program has been tremendous, and the fact that we're now working towards much broader forms of diversity in astronomy, beyond gender now, is one of the great successes of the program. And I would love to see this whole effect happening in other areas. We have seen in the astronomy and physics departments and also in science departments across universities that some of the initiatives that have been introduced by the astronomers have actually then been adopted by the physics departments or by the science communities as a whole. So we are seeing trickle-down effects, but I think societies could actually be playing a more proactive role in this area.
Absolutely. And there's also the case where you were talking, we started this whole discussion talking about gender equity and then moved on to race and the like, but you also mentioned sexual orientation, and there was an initiative that I was reading called hashtag 500 Queer Scientists. Do you know much about that particular initiative?
I don't know much about that particular initiative. One of the things that our astronomers have been involved in has been Queers in Science, which is an organisation that brings together people from the LGBTI community in various different states, and it's been very active in Melbourne in particular. And this means that people who are in the LGBTI community, although they might feel like they're in a very small minority within their departments, but if you bring them together across science, then they actually can find role models and find mentors and other people to talk to and support networks across the entire university environment. And this has been really important and has had a lot of success and is now starting to become larger in other states as well. So that's one of the things that we've been involved in.
And at the individual level, I guess, just to finish off, for those who are working in astronomy or any of the science fields that are trying to get involved to sort of make equity a more feasible option within their own workplace, is there anything that individuals can do?
Yeah, I think everybody really needs to be aware of their own biases. I'd really encourage people to go to the Harvard Implicit Bias Test. We've all got biases. It's nothing to be ashamed of, the fact that we have biases. It's culture. But we all should really be aware of what our biases are, and we might not know what they are until we've done the test. And it's a very personal thing. You can go do the test and then learn about what your biases are. And this does help.
For sure.
In particular for when you're in decision-making processes. So you might be hiring.
Absolutely. I think that's all we've got time for this morning. I'm so sorry, Lisa. Just going to crash into the news. But that's been Lisa Cooley. She's the director of the Astro 3D Centre of Excellence at the Australian National University.